The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Strap yourself down and get ready to titter with laughter. It's the Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Kareem Daniels, and Christiana D. And now, the Grandmaster of Guffaw. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Christiana's still out sick. Feel better
so you can have my back. I mean, because I want you to feel better.
Yeah, last show was a little bit intense. We're not going to be as intense this time.
Got real. And I will apologize for the last show because I made a lot of assumptions that I should check my facts. As in, I do not know how old NFL players are or how tall they are. And I have no perspective, as we all know, because I didn't realize Nate had a mustache. So that was awkward.
And you thought I was shorter than you when I'm actually taller than
you. Yeah, see, there's a lot of things wrong with that.
All right. Well, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about why not vaccinating matters.
Okay. I really feel like this topic, how like domestic violence like gets under my skin, like not vaccinating gets under yours, because we've talked about this a couple times.
Oh, yeah. And there's facts and figures this time. There's another NBA owner who's selling, this time voluntarily, because he wrote some stuff. We'll talk about that. And a young man who was just looking for love in the office. What he did right, what he did wrong, and...
There was nothing right about that. I'm sorry, there was nothing right about that.
Well, we'll examine all that. But first, this past weekend, I saw 12 Years a Slave, and that is not an uplifting movie. I'm just going to say it.
I feel like you're behind like a whole year on this one.
I am. I did not see it in the theater. I waited until it came out on HBO, and I watched it. And I knew it was going to be a tough watch. It's not like a fun, uplifting movie. And I actually wrote on Facebook, watching 12 Years a Slave, totally not getting the soundtrack, because at that point in the movie, was where the overseer was singing about Run, N-Word, Run.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Yeah, that is not a song you want on your iPod.
Can you imagine just like someone rolling down their windows driving by? They're like, this is my favorite movie.
Yeah, it's not Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It was a tough watch. It really was. Some really good performances in it, and it was crazy.
Cinematically, it might have been one of the best movies I've ever seen.
I don't know. And again, I'm coming at it from a different perspective. I didn't think the movie was... I thought it was an important movie. I don't know in terms of movie making if it was a great movie. I mean, it won Best Picture, obviously. But, a lot of really good... It's one of those movies like Schindler's List that you should see.
Yeah.
It's at some point just to... get a perspective. I was unaware that there were people just randomly kidnapping black people and sending them south.
I tell y'all stuff all the time. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all think I'll be making up shit.
No, it's just that was not...
I'm like pretty sure I read that in a history book somewhere too.
I never did. That was never covered. So
public school education, assholes. What's... No,
I went to a Catholic school. We didn't talk about
that
stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nuns didn't cover that sort of thing.
They didn't cover a lot.
But, it's on HBO now, so you have no excuse to not see 12 Years a Slave, because I'm sure you know somebody who has an HBO Go password to steal
from. And if you want to pass that on to me, that'd be amazing. Now that you bring that up.
But, it was one of those things, like, partway through, I was like, this is going to be tough to watch. And, I mean, Michael Fassbender was very good. What is the guy who's the lead character, that actor's name? I suck at pronouncing his name.
Shakwa, I can't remember how to say his last name.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I'm not the only one. He was really good in the film. The guy who plays Chalky White on Boardwalk Empire was in the movie for like 5 minutes. And I always feel bad because that poor bastard gets killed off in virtually everything. But he has survived till the last season of Boardwalk Empire. He got killed off in The Wire. He gets killed off in everything. But
can you imagine that being your career, where you're just cast off, like you go for a role and they're like, oh, by the way, your character's getting killed off.
Well, I mean, if you're playing one of the African American leads in a in a movie about slavery, they're probably going to kill you off.
Okay, that's true.
They'll at least be a whipping. By the way, that crazy lady, the crazy lady, you know, the one who's like, punish them. The one who was married to Michael, the blonde lady.
Yeah.
That I was like, bitch, step off. Just crazy.
Really? That was.
That's what I said. I yelled that at my TV.
She knew that he loved the slave more than her.
Well, she knew that he was banging the slave.
No, she knew that he loved that slave more than he loved her.
I mean, it's not hard to when you're a fucking crazy bitch.
And she had no, she had no recourse. I'm pretty sure that's not necessarily the life she signed up for.
Well, yeah, and again, life wasn't fair for women then either.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not according to Fox News. Was it Fox the last episode?
It was, but they were talking about the 1950s, not the 1850s.
Oh, whatever. I can't tell them. No,
I look at white women the same way I look at women in church. You know, like, man, y'all still believe this shit?
Oh, damn. That hits so many levels. That was good. I'll give you that. That was pretty good, but that hit so many levels.
Because seriously, in the 50s, up until the 60s, white men were still raping black women like nothing. Like, you could be a black woman walking along the side of the road, and the car white men would come by, pick you up, take you out to the woods, rape you, and drop you off where they picked you up at, and nothing would happen.
Well, to be fair, they did bring her back where they picked her up. So, I mean, that is part of it.
Yes. You know how we play devil's advocate? We got to be fair.
To be fair.
And if you worked in a house for a white couple, then he thought that he had certain liberties. And you had no control over that. And as a woman, a white woman, she had no control over that either. She had to pretty much deal with that as well. So, you know. That's why I'm like, okay, you motherfuckers know what he does. I don't understand why you're still there.
Yeah,
which might explain why so many of them come to the dark side.
Yeah, there's a lot of things wrong with everything.
Look, I grew up in Vermont. We didn't have black people. Well, to be fair, we did. There's like three.
Those are the ones that stopped before they got to Canada.
You know what's really funny? What's really funny, though, is The Daily Show did, and I forget what the piece was, but they sent Michael Che, who's African-American. He's one of the newer correspondents on The Daily Show. And he went to Burlington, Vermont, and he found like 6 or 8 African-American people to talk to. They were doing a thing about immigrants. And they talked to this crazy guy who's like, immigrants are bad and kids coming across the border and all this other nonsense. But I was like, where did he find all of these black people in Vermont? Because like the population, it's literally less than 1%. Yeah. And it's not a large population to begin with, but
I wonder how they feel.
There was a
cold.
There was a signal that was sent out that said, "There's a black guy in town."
The black signal.
The black signal.
their phone started. The phone started vibrating. The theme from Shaft.
It's so funny because. When you go to a place where there are not any other black people and you see a black person, you like speak like you know the person.
Oh, isn't that how it works?
That's how it works, yeah.
Isn't that like what you're supposed to do? We're supposed to like...
So, no. Like, to the point where you actually would think that we knew each other.
Oh, no, I've like totally seen it done. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. It cracks me up. Like, it makes me happy on the inside because it's so awkward.
Like me
it's
and my girlfriend drove to Iowa. And so we were like in Wyoming. And I saw this black guy, and he waved at me from across the restaurant. And she was like, "Damn, Eddie, this is real."
And then you went over and hugged each other,
and you're like, "Oh, I do know."
A bro hug.
We gave the bro hug.
See 12 Years a Slave. It's important that you see movies like that. You know, it's not going to be a fun watch.
No. Matter of fact, I think she says she's not going to watch that with me.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. It's not a movie I'm going to see again.
I recorded it this weekend, so it's something. Actually, I plan on buying it, so.
Okay.
Like I said, cinematically, it was one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's There was nothing wrong. I saw nothing wrong with it. I just saw a lot of the movies that were nominated this year that were just really big and epic and sort of shot in a way. I mean, even this past Sunday's episode of Boardwalk Empire, I thought was really cinematically very striking, visually striking.
Well, I watched that Matthew McConaughey movie that he won.
Dallas Buyers Club,
and that wasn't that good to me at all.
I liked the movie. It wasn't a big sweeping epic at all. There was nothing. It didn't seem like a big movie to me.
Like I liked his character. I liked him in the movie and what he did, but the movie itself, it wasn't like
Well, they lost a bunch of weight, so that's usually a big key. Yeah. I thought American Hustle was a really, really good movie, and I did not think The Wolf of Wall Street was. Wolf of Wall Street was a big movie, but
that was a long fucking movie. But I kind of did like it though, mainly because I like drugs and women. So that's we're on the same page.
Of course you are. You pussy. Right.
So. So Kareem,
I'm really simple.
So Kareem, you messaged me last week and you asked, when can we talk about how gay Rick Perry is? And I said, I'm going to need an example of what you're talking about. So would you say, let's talk about how gay Rick Perry is? What's the context of this?
Have you seen any clips of him or anything?
Yeah.
So did you see the clip? Watch the clip that I sent you of him on The Daily Show?
Yes. I saw that episode of The Daily Show.
Did you see what I was talking about?
Well, for the people who didn't, what exactly?
Oh, yeah. All I can I can't even really describe it, but if you watch the clip, you would come away with like, wow, he really needs to come out of the closet.
Which there's nothing wrong with that. You can come out of the closet, you guys.
Yes.
Rick Perry, I have your back. Yeah. haven't seen it yet. Yes. But
yeah, and I'm not saying
I got you, man.
I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being gay.
You just need to own it.
He just needs to own it.
Exactly.
Stop doing bad shit to gay people because you don't want to admit you're gay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a big problem. Yeah. So the self-hatred.
Yeah, stop doing it. Just come out.
I'm kind of worried. That's like what my mom, after that conversation my mom and I had, if that's part of it or if she's just not getting laid. I don't know which one it is, but my parents are very homophobic.
I think your dad's not sticking her.
Probably. I'm hoping that's what it is and she's not actually gay and then just jealous because that's awkward. That's super
awkward.
How old
is your mom?
Oh, fuck. 70-something?
70-something.
They had me really late.
You were late, baby.
She was an accident.
No, what happened? They had a lot of miscarriages.
Oh.
Because white doctors, American doctors told her it was okay for her to work, but she's like this tiny Asian lady from like straight from the motherland, and she like never worked a day in her life, and then she started working at my dad's restaurant because they opened a restaurant together.
Okay.
And then she had like 4 or 5 miscarriages before me and then one after me. So I'm the miracle child, you fuckers. Guess what? You're welcome for being born.
You're welcome for being born.
And gracing you with my magical presence.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, so everybody keep an eye on Rick Perry. Because I think it started with those frames. And he got them because I think he wanted to seem smart after forgetting which all of the three departments of the cabinet that he would get rid of. I would get rid of education and... Yeah. What were they?
And that's the thing. On stage, he looks like the straight part. Mm-hmm. But then when you're just like interviewing him like casually or like at a like it's like a casual interview or him taking questions from the press on the go, and he just gets all flamboyant.
No, there's something definitely.
Maybe there's a theater kid in him just striving to break free.
That could be it. Aw, that's probably what it is. And now I'm kind of sad.
Rick Perry, theater kid. So, quit coming out here to California to try and steal our gerbs. Cut it out, man. See you coming.
It's just hilarious to watch.
So everybody keep an eye on Rick Perry. I saw this and I felt the need to share. It's 20 basic social rules everyone should follow. I'm kind of glad Christiana's not here because some of them she would have an issue with. But
don't worry, Christiana, I got your back.
I don't
this
know
how
that,
well I know you.
I don't know that you do.
Oh, awkward.
So the first one is cover your mouth when you sneeze or cough. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
But not with your hand, with clothes.
With your elbow, yes.
Or like sleeves.
Yeah. Number two, don't park like an asshole.
That I completely, I was guilty last night, but I do agree. There's no one else in the parking lot, in my defense. No one else was there.
Number three, clean up after yourself.
I totally agree with that one.
Yep.
Yes. Fucking especially in stores, okay? Pick up your shit in a fucking store. Sorry. Sorry. Really angry about that one.
Kareem, is it racist that I call Ross Black Guy's Closet?
No. I don't shop in there that much.
I rarely go into Ross because anytime I've gone in, I've been like, I don't want any of this stuff. Because basically everybody goes in, they take a piece of clothing off the rack, they try it on right there in the middle of the store, and then either throw it over the rack or on the floor. So, and it's mostly African Americans in Ross when I go in. So I've called the Black Guy's Closet. I'm sorry if that's racist. Number four, please say please and thank you. Number five, give others their personal space. These are all good. Number six, be ready when you get to the front of the line. Number seven is let people off the elevator before you get on. Number eight, don't use your phone in a movie theater. Here's where it starts to get into there might be an issue. Number nine, take your loud/crying children out of movie theaters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Number 10, wash your hands.
Yes.
Number 11.
That needed to be a thing. See, this is why I'm upset.
Number 11, pay attention to your surroundings.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's basic safety.
Number 12, answer your phone when it won't disturb others. Don't just pick up the phone in the middle of a conversation and go, hey!
Sorry, I got to take this call.
Yeah, exactly. here's a pet peeve of mine. Number 13, return your shopping cart. You lazy motherfuckers, they put cart corrals out there. Bring them back there. I've seen people walk the other direction from them and like do a little wheelie to pop them up onto a curb, and then they take up a parking spot. And I'm like, you're a dick. Number 14, don't talk over people. That does not count during podcasts. Number 15, tip your server.
I think I vocalized this many times.
Number 16, don't aimlessly stop on the sidewalk or in an aisle. That one, I will say, particularly for teenage girls and Asian ladies.
Yes.
Go to the farmer.
Okay, I make sure there's no one around me.
To the farmer's market under the freeway on a Sunday. It is like hell in
Little
Shanghai.
I've knocked people over.
Yeah, it's terrible. Number 17, don't text when someone is talking to you because it's kind of rude.
Sorry, let me finish this text real
exactly.
quick.
18, escalators, stand on the right, walk on the left.
Oh my God, yes! Yes, thank you for putting this on the list. Damn it, people. No, don't look at me like I fucked up somewhere, okay?
Oh.
It's not. No, because they seriously like look at me. I'm like trying to like walk past and they're like, why are you in such a hurry? I'm like, why are you on the wrong side of the escalator, you fucker?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to point B.
Number 19, take your loud/crying children out of the restaurant.
I feel like some of these are redundant.
Yeah, well, yeah, take them out. And number 20. Mind your own business.
I love the picture for this one because it's really not. No,
it doesn't make
she
any
just
sense.
Looks pissed.
Yeah, it does.
She just looks angry, and of course, she's a ginger.
Hey, my mustache.
Oh, that's where we draw the line, Nate.
Listen, my mustache.
Not the Black Guy's Closet. That's
my mustache is a ginger. Just my facial hair is.
Yeah, is that weird to you? Is that weird? Has anyone else asked you about that?
Yeah, my beard grows. If I grow a beard, my beard grows in red. Like I am fucking red
is
beard.
Can I ask about? Is that inappropriate? That's inappropriate. I'm just kind of curious because nothing else
the
is
rest,
red.
The rest of my body hair is the same color as the hair on my head. It's
my
beard.
That's all you need.
So like
to
if you
say.
Look at, if you look at my chest hair is the same color as
just your
the
beard.
Hair on my head. Yeah, it's just my beard. It's crazy.
You have a fire.
I have a fire face, bitch.
I'm so funny.
The anger from my fire hole. All right.
Oh gosh, that kind of actually works. That kind of works.
It does. Now, we all know that finding love is hard in this crazy world. It's hard to get the attention of someone you might have a crush on. It's hard to know how to approach them. But what we can probably all agree on is that this one person at a Minnesota hardware store did it the wrong way. See, he had a crush on a female coworker, and he expressed that by repeatedly ejaculating into her coffee and onto her desk. Onto her desk in an attempt to attract her attention. That's according to police. His name is John R. Lind. He's 34. So he should know better, but he doesn't. He admitted to ejaculating onto the woman's coffee, or into the woman's coffee, at least twice in 6 months, and on her desk four times. That's according to a criminal complaint. He also said he wiped the evidence with her hair scrunchie. The crunchy scrunchie.
That's disgusting.
The incidents allegedly began in February. The woman told police she had noticed repeatedly that her coffee tasted weird and concluded that the milk had gone sour.
Is that what it tastes like? Is that what it tastes like? Ew.
It depends.
Ew.
I would say not if you're healthy.
Ew.
The Vice Wagner.
Solidifying the gays.
Now we know what she didn't do when she was.
Right.
Oh, God. No. I took one look at the thing and was like, no, you're fucking kidding, right? No. Ew.
The Beiswinger's hardware store employee told officials that he was sorry and he knew that what he did was wrong, but he only wanted to get the woman's attention. According to the criminal complaint, the woman called police in August after she caught him at her desk with his hands on his crotch and a, quote, deer in the headlights expression. After he left the room, the complaint said the woman found bodily fluids on her desk, dripping onto the floor and soaked up in her scrunchie. Yee. When police arrived, they collected the woman's mug, coffee, and scrunchie as evidence. The woman allegedly experienced problems with him before. She said in the police report that Lind often approached her with a zipper down. That, again, not the proper way to approach a lady. Charges were filed in Ramsey County. That's according to CBS Minnesota. He faces two counts of criminal sexual conduct. If convicted, he could face more than a year in prison or a $4,500 fine. I'm pretty sure he'll get to experience what he spread will come back to him tenfold if he ends up going to prison.
I wonder if, like, you can sue, like, civilly, right? For money?
Well, he's working in a hardware store. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have any money.
Oh, never mind then, because I was like, damn, homegirl almost is just making bait.
He took the penis pop to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, God, that's so gross.
It is. It's bad
so
times.
Gross.
That's not okay.
It's one thing if you're dating and she leaves the room and you come out when you have to take out. That's one thing.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's not okay. But, yeah, that's not the good. That's not a good way to get the attention of a lady.
No, that's not the first. Not before you actually are seeing each other. No.
Right. Yeah, you want...
Which, no, after you've been dating for a while, you can totally ejaculate in her coffee, because that's normal.
Well, I mean, maybe it's a fun joke.
Yeah. Oh, that's so gross!
I mean, once you've actually been intimate, if you're... I mean, people like to play practical jokes on each other. Who am I to judge?
Oh, my God. I'm just seriously solidifying the gay, because I don't think girls can do that. Oh... Okay, I'm going to just put this out there to cover my ass.
Girls can do,
whoever,
can do what?
Whoever I'm dating, do not do anything to my coffee. Okay? Do not put any of your bodily fluids in my coffee. That is disgusting, and I will break up with you.
She can get a squirter. She can...
Okay, once again, do not do anything. I'm trying to cover all my bases. Do not do anything to my fucking coffee or my desk. Definitely not my desk or my hair ties, because that's disgusting.
So you don't want a squirter?
There's a trail on my desk. What is that?
No, I I hate everyone involved in this situation. I'm traumatized. I'm going to be single for the rest of my life because of you guys.
There's a lot of really bad people in the first part of this show. Let's move to Atlanta. Less than a month after Clippers' sale ended Donald Sterling's ugly downfall, another NBA team is on the market following a racially charged disclosure from its owner. Atlanta Hawks co-owner Bruce Levinson said that he is selling his controlling interest in the team thanks in part to an inflammatory email that he wrote 2 years ago. And that's what puzzles me about this whole thing. He said he wrote the email in an attempt to, quote, bridge Atlanta's racial sports divide. Instead, he offered his divisive comments, including his theory that Hawks black fans kept white fans away. Levinson said he regrets the email sent to the team's co-owners and general manager, Danny Ferry, in 2012 as, quote, inappropriate and offensive, end quote. In a statement released by the team, Levinson said he sent the email due to his concerns about low attendance and a need to attract suburban whites.
Wait, what?
Now, see,
what's he apologizing for again?
See, because this is the thing with that email. One was, I didn't take it. I wasn't offended by it or take it as racist. Actually, I felt like he was calling out white people more than I felt he was calling out black people. Because what you just read and what he actually said, he said that he was afraid that even though nothing had ever happened, that white people were afraid to come
right.
because of black people. So he was calling white people racist.
He was.
And
the other thing about it is if for, he needed.
And for what he said, it pretty much described what we call white flight, which is when too many black people move in the neighborhood, white people move out.
Yeah.
That's what happens in the suburbs. So so that was all true. So he didn't say anything really racist. And I think he used this as an excuse to try to sell the team because he saw what the Clippers owners made from selling the team.
It could be. He's looking to get out. But here's the details of the email. He said that Southern whites were uncomfortable at games. Quote, "My theory is that the black crowd scared away the whites and there's simply not enough affluent black fans to build a significant season ticket base. Please don't get me wrong. There was nothing threatening going on in the arena back then. I never felt uncomfortable, but I think Southern whites simply were not comfortable being in an arena or at a bar where they were in the minority." It's tough being in the minority.
Oh, really?
It's true.
Poor white people.
Levinson
poor
said the Hawks exactly. crowds were 70% black. The team's cheerleaders were black, and hip-hop music was played. Then I started looking...
Oh, God.
That's at every arena in the...
Then I started looking around at other arenas, Levinson said. It's completely different. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, Atlanta's population was 54% black and 38.4% white in 2010. Now, for Metro Atlanta, it's a little bit higher. It's 55.4% white and 32.4% black. So that's the whole area, if you take into account the suburbs. Levinson said he often heard fans say the area around Phillips Arena in downtown Atlanta is dangerous. Quote, "This was just racist garbage," Levinson said. "When I hear some people saying the arena is in the wrong place, I think it's code for there are too many blacks at the games."
And he is totally right on that, because every arena is built in a shady area because the property is cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And you usually bring up the property value of the area by building the arena in the area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so he was totally right on that part. And like I said, it was, again, he's calling out white people. He's not talking about black people, because he keeps pointing out how the black people have done nothing in the area that was scary, or nobody's been robbed or anything by the arena.
Right.
So that is white fear.
It is.
Paranoia.
But the Reverend Al Sharpton poked his head up again, as he's wont to do, released a statement encouraging NBA Commissioner Adam Silver to, quote, "continue vetting all owners." The announcement by Bruce Levinson is welcome and appropriate by those of us in the civil rights community that raised the issue of Donald Sterling's need to be removed and that other owners must be held accountable.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Al's really not a part of the story.
Al's a part of every story where Al's race is involved.
No.
Because
No. Al's not a part of this story because this owner did not leave because Al forced him out, or nobody black threatened to sue him.
No.
Or not play again for him or any of that stuff. And matter of fact, all of the black people that I know who read the story, none of them are offended or thought that he was what he said was particularly racist with the letter. And so most of them think like I think, which is it was a cop out. He tried to sell the team 2 years ago and wasn't able to get a buyer.
Right.
He saw what the Clippers got for what Sterling got for the Clippers, and he wants to try to sell the team. And I think it's a bitch ass move for him to use race as a, this is really playing the race card.
Yeah.
Yeah. For him trying to sell his interest in the team. If you want to sell it, sell it.
But
don't be a bitch about it and try to throw that you wrote a racist email 2 years ago.
In his defense, for that much money, I will pretend to be racist too. Not going to lie. That was not, I mean, it's kind of like, it's a bitch thing, but at the same time, like, I mean, actually, no, it really is, because he really doesn't need the money. Does he?
Well, I have no idea.
Probably not, if he's already has that much money, like, a couple mil here and there, well, but, know, like, it would up the cost.
For those people, never much. There's never such thing as enough money.
Oh yeah, then totally play the race card.
Yeah, see,
above that, not above that at all. I'll play the gay card too if I got to.
As somebody who works in marketing, I saw the emails and my first reaction to them was, It's not the best language. I probably would have used a little different language if I was writing the email.
If I was going to be racist.
But no. It's a matter because their issue is an issue of marketing the team to the people with the money. They needed to get affluent Southern whites to come to the game. How do we get more of these people who have disposable income to come to our games at the arena? How can we make that happen? What are the reasons that they're not coming? They're not coming because we don't have any white cheerleaders. All we play is hip hop music, and the place is filled with black people, and they're uncomfortable. So how do we work with that? Yeah. So and if you approach it from a pure marketing and customer service perspective, which he didn't do, you then go, all right, well, what can we do? Let's have something that's a little bit different that will appeal to them to bring them in, not, oh my God, the black people are scaring them away.
Yeah. But that's how I took it when I read it.
Yeah.
Which was he was talking about marketing and his business and why his business was the way it was. He didn't say I hate black people.
No.
Or don't bring black people to my game. He said this is what's going on. And I don't think he would care if there were black people coming. There were more black people than white people coming to the game as long as they were spending money.
The only color he cares about is green.
Yeah. So
that was it.
Yeah. And so that was what I took away from that. Nothing else. So like I said, that's why I say it was a bitch move for him to do it. And everybody's reporting on the civil rights people commenting on it, which to me just really takes away more from him being a bitch about wanting to sell the team, and then now you get to turn it into a race issue when it's really not a race issue.
Why does Al Sharpton show up like the racial whack-a-mole everywhere?
Somebody asked Al for a comment on that.
Okay.
That's probably because he's the poster child. He's the go-to.
Yeah, but he shows up everywhere.
But
they all know
again,
to ask him.
Those people, those families that he show up for, those people come to him and ask him to come. And it's because he's organized. Al has a organization, mm-hmm. a real organization. Once, with the stuff in Ferguson, once people who got there who actually know how to march and organize showed up, then the marches, the stuff became more organized.
Right.
That's the part that you missed out on.
And there was less need to fire tear gas and rubber bullets.
Right. And actually, I've been listening to other podcasts and from people who were actually there. And a lot of the times there wasn't an issue until they started firing the tear gas and the bullets.
Sure.
So
no, it's one of those things of what tripped the problem. It's a misunderstanding in a lot of cases. I was just curious about that. Yeah. But yeah, so the Hawks are for sale if you'd like to buy them.
So like I said, if you want to, he played the race card. Like if you want to sell it, but stop being a bitch about it and trying to blame it on.
No, he's trying to get more money out of it. That's what he's trying to do.
I don't know how he's going to succeed. I don't know how he's going to succeed because
he didn't do it the right way. Well,
and actually, I think he might have did this like a year too early.
Well, the other thing is,
or a year, maybe 2 years too early, because the Hawks actually played well in the playoffs this year, mm-hmm. to the point where they didn't get beat by the Pacers. They beat themselves against the Pacers. And I think that was just a team that was their first time in the playoffs. So a year or 2 years from now, they're going to be a good playoff contending team. That's when you can sell them. And I think you shot yourself in the foot.
Well, and I think you're right. The other part of the problem is in 2010, they weren't really a very good team.
No.
So that's probably the bigger reason why you weren't getting the crowds coming in.
Right.
But yeah. It was,
you know, everybody jumps on the bandwagon once you winning.
Well, that's why bleacher seats at AT&T Park are like $55.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit, by the way. San Francisco Giants, your prices are bullshit.
Yes.
I've said it. We learned a few more things about the albino monocled cobra that was on the loose down in Thousand Oaks, California last week. Namely, that it did potentially have deadly venom in its glands intact. Now, the snake was finally captured.
Diana.
And...
What?
Captured the snake. She doesn't play that game. Further inspection at the LA Zoo showed the snake still could have given a potentially deadly bite. That's according to the Associated Press. While it was initially reported that a dog had been bitten by the snake and survived, spurring speculation that the venomous glands had been removed, the veterinarian later said the dog was likely just injured while trying to run away from the snake. The snake expert at the zoo said the snake was likely raised in captivity since its white color, which is caused from a rare condition and a lack of pigment, would have made it easy prey for predators. He said the snake looks pretty fat, meaning it probably had been chowing down on rats and mice while on the loose, as snakes do. The snake expert also said it was likely between, and great narrowing it down, between 5 and 20 years old. Monocled cobras like that can live for 2 decades and grow up to 5 or 6 feet long. He said the zoo stopped short of trying to determine the snake's sex because they don't have the right anti-venom. Cobras are, in fact, illegal to own here in California without a permit for scientific or educational purposes, but a black market exists, shocking, for those looking for illegal exotic pets, and authorities are looking for the cobra's owners. The snake has now been moved to the San Diego Zoo, where it will stay because they have anti-venom for Asian cobras. Why do people have to have a snake for a pet?
I don't know.
Why?
But that 18-year-old that I hung out with, she threatened to give me a snake or a lizard.
Oh, she threatened to give you a snake, huh?
Instead of a... I feel like I walk into these more now that you're around. I don't know.
I want to give you a lizard. It's cold-blooded like I am.
I hate you so much. But
was it like that?
God, so creepy. You sound like Golem. But I don't know. I was like, why do people do that? And then there's another person I hung out with, and they had like reptiles for pets. And I was like, this is not going anywhere. So yeah, that ended real quickly.
Yeah, reptiles and ferrets.
I used to have a snake.
I used to have
a python.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the appeal of your python?
I don't know. I just like having the python.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? Okay, Britney Spears.
Sit there and hold him.
Oh, so you just sat there all day and just held your python.
You can hold it. Yeah.
I'm not continuing.
I don't think you do, too.
I am black.
Oh, boy.
We decide. Cool or tool.
All right, we didn't get to this last show because we were yelling at each other. First up in cool or tool, office romance, Diana.
Not cool. Don't do that. Don't shit where you work.
Kareem.
Don't shit where you eat.
Or eat.
It was that. Both.
Damn it.
That's the expression, yes. Office romance. Cool or tool, Kareem. Office romance.
Tool.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who got married to people in the office, but I've never had any luck at work. I've never tried this method, but no.
I'm going to tell you this right now. It's not going to work.
Probably.
Yeah, I managed a spa with 18 and a half women, and I was like, yeah, no, thank you.
Okay, up next in Cooler Tool, turning yourself in. Kareem?
And the way he did it is tool.
Diana?
I think the way he did it was tool.
Turning yourself in is tool. It's like snitching on yourself. What a fucking bitch. Don't be a bitch. Don't be a snitch. Don't turn yourself in. What? I don't know.
What just happened?
I have no idea.
Turn down for what, Nate?
Turn down for what? Turn down for what, I say. And finally, in cooler tool, people who keep snakes as pets. Diana?
I think they're tool.
Kareem?
Cool.
Dude, just because you had a python.
I still got one.
Oh, God. Can't deal with this.
At least he didn't go anaconda on you. Yeah.
My anaconda don't want... Wait, what is it?
You got bugs, huh?
Yeah, no. Ferret, snakes,
I use a ferret.
Reptiles.
What's wrong with the ferret? They're the most friendly. Okay. They're dirty as fuck, but they're friendly.
They're dirty and they smell. And
they don't smell.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. Mine didn't smell. What? I don't understand.
She's a girl. Of course she would say that.
All right.
I get it now. I didn't want to.
All right, that's it for Cooler Tool. All right, this was a story that came out last week about a woman who allegedly tried to speak up against workplace sexist bullshit. By the way, I'm reading this from Jezebel, so it's going to be written in sort of a leading way. Bleeding Cool shared a story of Jennifer Williams, who is a writer and a comic book fan who took a job at Harrison's Comics in Salem, Massachusetts. Now, on her Twitter, Williams said she grew up loving comics and always dreamed of working in a comic book store like Harrison's. Too bad she picked the comic book store where employees were taunted about a rape room on site. She tweets, FYI, Harrison's Comics and Collectibles in Salem, Mass. Has a rape room, dubbed such by the owner's friend Julian, who is acting as manager. I think we can all agree that that's not okay. Mm-hmm. And then the next tweet, on Sunday, I spoke to the owner about my concerns. I was off yesterday. Today, I was fired. Then someone tweeted back, is it okay to ask, what the hell is a rape room exactly? And she replied, it's one of the back rooms used for storage. I have no idea why they call it a rape room. Didn't dare ask. So it took less than 2 days for her to be fired after complaining about an inappropriate rape joke at WERP. Big high five to all the detractors who tell women all they have to do is report it when someone harasses them at work. Through a series of tweets, Williams detailed more of what she experienced during the handful of days she worked at the store. Harrison's owner responded to Williams and her allegations, also on Twitter, because no one talks anymore. He tweeted, those who have known us for years must realize that we do not condone this behavior. He tweeted again, I was not even aware she had been let go, but according to others, it was just they felt that she wouldn't work.
After a day. After one day.
Well, to be fair, she was uptight.
exactly.
He then tweeted, I feel bad that she had to lash out in this way. I've known her for many years and think of her as a friend. She then decided that she'd heard enough of this nonsense and tweeted back, a friend that perpetuates rape culture and fires employees without consulting you or someone who cares about the store and being professional.
It's a comic book store.
Yeah, I hate the term rape culture because I just
think it's overused.
I can't wrap my arms around why I hate the term, but I do hate the term as much. I mean, it takes everything and rolls it into it takes everything from off color comments and rolls it into and goes, oh, that's rape culture. So what it sort of does is equates an off-color comment that's completely inappropriate, by the way. It equates it to somebody dragging a woman behind a shrub and violently raping her. And those two things are not equivalent.
No.
That's kind of why I hate that term. Anyway, he continues to tweet back, if anyone would like to hear my side of the story, feel free to come talk to me in Salem today through Saturday. She replied, your side of the story is that you knew about the rape room. When I came to you, you brushed it off.
Because it's not really a rape room.
No, it's not. It's a terrible comic book guy joke.
Exactly.
It's a terrible, inappropriate joke.
It is a joke that guys make when it's just guys, and she just went into a job where there's just guys.
And should they have made the joke? No. Should they have fired her? No.
Yeah.
But, again, when you're going back and forth on Twitter, you don't know how everything went. He then again tweeted, if anyone would like to hear my side of the story, feel free to come talk to me. She replied with,
there's you probably said never been a girl in that room.
You said you didn't want to make waves and you were sure he was just joking. Well,
there you go.
If you've got a business and your friend is working for you, probably at far less than you'd have to pay somebody for that position, you probably don't want to go in and make waves with him.
Yeah.
And especially if you probably were joking.
And you know he was joking.
But in 2014, as an owner of a business, you can't just brush this shit off. It ain't going to work. Ultimately, though, I don't think it's going to really hurt his business that badly because his business is probably about 85% dudes.
Yeah. And the thing is, she got fired for being uptight.
Well, and
I don't see that's what I disagree with. I disagree with you guys calling her uptight because I don't think it's we both agreed that the comment was offhand. It was inappropriate.
Well, and I was joking. I said she was uptight, I was joking.
I'm serious.
See, that's the thing. I understand like it's a guy, but like having another female, unless you figure out her sense of humor. And it's the workplace, though.
Right.
It's not a place where, like, I mean, after a certain time.
It's not a corporate place. It's a comic book store.
But still, you have to be conscious of other people. So I think, like, the guy was an idiot for saying that, and he should have been called out. It's like, some people are, like, sensitive about cussing.
Okay.
At the workplace.
Well, fuck that.
So.
Same thing is, it's work.
So they brought her in. I'm pretty sure that's probably their culture. Is as a work environment, and it's like, okay, you're not gonna fit
because of the whole raping thing. Because she's been going there for years.
Well, it's different. It's different when you roll in as a customer and you spend 20 minutes there, and when you're there working all the time.
No, but I think it's different if you, like, who knows what if she was there as a customer, but she's been there for a while and knows all the people that work there. Then it's kind of like you do become friends with them, but at that level, you're still cautious that they're a customer and you still are on your best behavior. But if they're an employee and you think you could joke around with them, basically they wanted a boys' club. Yeah. And that's why she got fired. They wanted a boys' club. I wouldn't necessarily come at her and say that she was uptight. I think that they just had their own standards of what they wanted, and she wasn't it.
Right.
That makes sense. But that, I don't think it's fair to call her uptight. Because if I was like being introduced and they're like, yeah, this is the rape room, I've been like, what the fuck? That's what, you don't say that to me. Like, that's just weird. Like, if it was another guy, maybe say it to him. But like, to another female, and then, I don't think you should have used the words rape room.
And then the other part of that is you don't know whether they actually said that to her or not. Right. Or they were joking about it.
Yeah.
Either way, I would have called them out.
Yeah. And she...
Then I would have called you uptight, too.
Well, and ultimately...
I would have been like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Ultimately, this is something that should have
been... There's no women been in that room.
That should have been solved. You can rape men, Kareem.
Yes. Yes. See, if we're going to talk about...
That's the basis of prison. Yes.
And the only people that have been raped in that room is somebody choking their own chicken.
Yeah, see, that's different. Like, you know that whole thing. But they probably, like, it's... I've been really uncomfortable.
She was okay with them masturbating in their room.
No, but the thing is, I've been uncomfortable with... Like, if you were to say something to me like that, and you're introducing that, in that scenario, I know you. I know where you're coming from. Obviously, no one's getting laid in there. But I have been in businesses, and I have been, like, talked to by other, like, male employees of this, where, like, it's been borderline uncomfortable, what they've said. And it's just because they I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird thing that you can kind of feel where they draw the line, where it's just kind of like creepy, perverted, and just like funny. Where
that's
like
what happens when there are no women around.
Yeah,
I've gotten like really inappropriate things before. Like, yeah, it's throwing me
and
off.
But honestly, if you're in a business that's all women and there's no men around, they behave inappropriately as well.
Oh,
verbally.
No, yeah, but I've like, especially with golf, like, it's a boys' club. Like,
and I know what I know because I work with a bunch of y'all. I know more about women than any man who's not a gynecologist.
No, I agree. Okay, yeah, it gets pretty bad, and I see the other side. But there's certain things that are certain comments that are very inappropriate. Regardless, like, there's the ones that are like, "Oh, you're funny."
I bring candy to work on Amy's day 28 because I know it's day 26 or 30 for everybody else in there.
Yeah, no, you're smart. You're a very smart guy. But like what I'm trying to say is, there's certain people that you just cannot give them the benefit of the doubt, because like I've like, a lot of my close friends are guys. Like, I've worked in a male dominated office before. It's like, it's fine, but then like sometimes there'll be that one person that you're just like, something could be off about you. Like the guy that freaking ejaculated in the coffee, he would be the guy to do that kind of shit and think it's okay.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, maybe this guy, maybe he's the one with the loose screw. That's all I'm trying to say. Yeah, is that?
But that guy would also be the one who...
It's always the friend. Don't you watch a Law and Order SVU?
I'm gonna say this, but that guy would also be the guy who would ejaculate in a guy's coffee because he thought it was funny.
It is true.
I'm hoping he would think it's funny, as instead of like he really was just trying to get attention. Yeah. Like, that's...
But I'm just saying that's what would happen.
Hopefully. That would be the...
Like, you have seen Jackass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, see, there's that guy, but then there's also a guy that only did it for the female's attention.
Yeah, you're right. You and I have the creepy guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about this situation. It was just the creepy guy.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's cool. It's whatever.
Yeah.
As long as you're not creepy, you can be as perverted as you want.
Well, my
motto.
One of the things I wonder is would they have fired her if she hadn't taken to Twitter with all this? Because that's the other thing. People immediately go to social media and go, well, guess what? This place is doing this. This place is doing this. Of course they're not going to welcome you back with open arms.
No.
Because you've gone to the public forum. You've gone to the new town square. And you've slandered them.
Yeah, that's true.
As opposed to if he's your friend, why don't you call him and say, hey, this is what happened. And then maybe he'll step in and talk to you, his friend who's managing his store. And then y'all could work it out. As opposed to you going on...
She acted out of pocket. If that's the timeline, which it sounds like it is,
And I don't know. Maybe that's not the timeline. Maybe that maybe she handled everything perfectly. But when you take to Twitter or any other public forum to shit on a business, whether you're right or whether you're wrong.
Oh, this was after, because it says September 2nd, 2:47 is when she made the rape room tweet. Then 2:49 is when she said, today I was fired.
Yeah, so.
Ooh, maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. And again, it's one of those, he said, she said, but now she doesn't have the minimum wage job at the comic book store. And because she took it, and here, I mean, this is the hard thing. You go, oh, well, you should always speak up, but they're speaking up in the right way. But once you take it to Twitter, then everybody knows that you're the person who, when they have a complaint, is going to be taking it to Twitter. So it's going to be harder for her to find a job, not because of her complaining, but how she went about doing it. Because people look at that, right or wrong. People, if you're hiring for a position and you know somebody has been someone who has gone to the public forum to talk shit about your business, you're probably not going to bring them in.
That's like the people that like only post pictures of them like hella getting blacked out drunk, smoking hella blunts, and they're like, I wonder why I can't get a job. Well, I wonder too, you dumbass. There's some shit you don't put on social media. I get it. I agree. You don't. Unless it's like really bad and you don't plan on ever working for anybody else again.
Right.
Then do whatever the fuck you want.
All right. Well, we have actual science back. The Centers for Disease Control stats show what happens when you don't vaccinate. The latest figures, between January 1st and August 29th of this year, nearly 600 confirmed measles cases were reported. The resurgence is the greatest the U.S. has seen since the disease was eliminated from the country in 2000. That's right. 14 years ago, there was no measles at all. Now we have 600 cases. Notably, it's not taken the U.S. 8 months to reach this ugly milestone. By May, the country had already seen 288 cases, the most in the five-month period since 1994, and more than had been reported for a given year in well over a decade. The cause for the resurgence is as unambiguous today as it was then. To quote Dr. Ann Schulott, Assistant Surgeon General and Director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, quote, the current increase in measles cases is being driven by unvaccinated people. The harmful effects of vaccine refusal have not been limited to the measles comeback. California, the most populous state in the U.S., has become a case study in what happens when people decide against vaccinating their children. The LA Times reports California parents today are opting out of vaccinating their kids at twice the rate they did just 7 years ago. State health officials say insufficient. That's about the time Jenny McCarthy showed up on Oprah. Fuck both of those bitches. State health officials say insufficient vaccination has contributed not only to the widespread reemergence of measles, but the ongoing whooping cough epidemic, and has left the state vulnerable to outbreaks of other serious diseases. Quote, we have schools in California with a percent of children who exercise the, quote, personal belief exemption is well over 50%. That's according to Dr. Gil Chavez, Deputy Director of the California Department of Public Health. He told the LA Times, it's going to be a challenge for any disease that is vaccine preventable. What kinds of diseases? Well, there are literally dozens. Some like flu are obvious. Others like cervical, anal, throat, and penile cancers. Yeah, all preventable by vaccination. Unfortunately, less so known. Many, like measles, are highly contagious, and the key to stopping all of them is timely immunization.
Penis cancer?
Penis cancer cream. That's how serious this is. It just got real. So,
I've never heard of penis cancer.
Well, it's a thing. It's right here.
Penis cancer? That's not a thing. I thought that was a thing.
You can get cancer anywhere.
Yeah. Anywhere there's cells.
Yep. So anywhere in your body. And they break it down. And it's ridiculous. And there are kids who should not be immunized because of health reasons. But the number of them is really, really minuscule. And this is ridiculous. So anyway, you need to have at least 8% of the students not fully vaccinated in order for the quote-unquote herd immunity to kick in. So basically, if you've got a classroom with 50 kids in it, you need to have all you need is five parents who go, I'm not going to immunize my little child because Jenny McCarthy said immunization is bad.
If any of your arguments start with Jenny McCarthy, you should just stop. Oh, well,
they'll point to many articles that they've Googled.
From Jenny McCarthy. If anywhere you're using Jenny McCarthy's name, you lost.
Yeah.
That's the new rule.
And there's a whole breakout of which schools are like this, and it's not the inner city public schools. Those kids are getting immunized because
they
don't have to, though.
But they have to get into school, don't they? No,
Diana, that's the thing. You can just say, oh, no, I'm opposed to vaccinating my child. It's a personal thing.
Oh, really? Because they would not let me in because I didn't have my shot records. But I was immunized, but I just didn't have them. So I had to, like, go. I missed, like, the first day of school or something like that.
They have something called the personal belief exception.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. Exactly. I got the immunization scar on my shoulder. Somebody was younger. So do you have one of those, Kareem? You're about the same age as I am. Somebody saw one of those and go, what is that on your arm? Somebody shoot you? And I go, no. And I was like, what do you mean? You don't have one of those? And at a certain point, they stopped using the big immunization gun. But anyway, vaccinate your kids so you don't kill the rest of us, you jerks. That's all I have to say.
Please and thanks.
And if your kid is legitimately ill and can't handle the vaccine, that's one thing. But really, if that's... Yeah, anyway. By the way, if you're drunk and naked, please stop going to Barcelona. It's pissing everybody off in Spain. Residents of a beachside neighborhood are upset that tourists have taken over their town with drunken debauchery and fucking around. Protests have now begun to get them out of there after, and these are the people I would expect would ruin it, Italian tourists were captured running naked through grocery stores in the town last month. Here's the quote from the town. It's a daily ordeal for us. At night, the place fills up with illegal parties, people getting drunk and shouting in the street. It is disgraceful and unbearable. That's according to Manuel Serrano, who's 59, who was pushing his mother in a wheelchair at one of the demonstrations. Formerly an old fishing district, the beachfront became one of the finest spots in the city when Barcelona was renovated to host the 92 Olympics. Rents have begun to rise as tourist apartments are built to hold the incoming visitors who flood the beach neighborhood after taking in the city's main attractions. Now, according to a citywide poll, residents voted tourism as their fourth worry after unemployment, the economy, and security. Apparently, the influx of tourism comes from the availability of apartments to rent. There are over 600 of them available in that one neighborhood alone. Drunken hijinks. They said they're working to ensure that tourist rentals don't generate noise problems or bother neighbors.
They sound like those people that live around...
Near a college
or anywhere. So like Cal Expo, that's why come they start having so much stuff at Cal Expo, because the people around there start complaining. Back when they used to have...
You need to get right on the mic, Kareem. Oh. You're off the end.
When they used to have the music tours,
yeah,
they would come through. They stopped having them over there because the neighbors complained about the noise and whatnot. Like, yeah, they just spent $5 million in your neighborhood this weekend. You don't want that money.
But it was loud for like 2 hours, and it was very unsettling. I don't know. I pay good money to live over here in Cal Expo. And it's just very disturbing for me and my friend Chad.
Really, Chad? Chad's the...
Chad.
Chad.
Hey, bad news for CeeLo. CeeLo Green.
That fucking dumb shit of a gem. Wait, what?
That's right. CeeLo's lack of understanding of what rape is has come home to roost. He's been dropped by the Gretna Heritage Festival in Louisiana as its headlining artist. It follows him being dropped as a performer at a D.C. naval base. He also pleaded no contest to one count of providing controlled substance to someone. He got 3 years probation, 360 hours of community service, and 52 AA meetings. The woman accused him of drugging her, after which she allegedly woke up next to the singer in the morning, unclear about what happened the night before. And then, of course, there were the tweets that he then apologized for. But anyway, the Times-Picayune reports that the Gretna Heritage Festival, which is scheduled for October, has replaced CeeLo Green with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
I mean, CeeLo, I can't. Can we not talk about this dumbass anymore? Can we just?
Well, I'm only talking about him because he's losing gigs, and I think
to
it's
Joan Jett.
To Joan Jett. That's right. We've replaced your ass with Joan Jett.
That's like the. That's how you teach celebrities a lesson.
Is Joan Jett a lesbian?
I don't know.
You know she's part of the crew?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if she was, though.
I wouldn't either. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but...
I don't think I would really enjoy her music either way.
Well, you're a little too young to enjoy her music.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think, like, she's out of the age range where I care.
Well, especially since Joan Jett's only hits were covers of 60s songs. So, yeah, it's like, okay. So... Tough time for CeeLo. Apparently, everyone's decided.
Well, that's what you get for being a dumbass. Like I said, those are your consequences. If you're going to be a celebrity, you're going to have to be a little more socially conscious. It's kind of a trade-off. You get millions of dollars for being you, but not you completely.
Yeah, and don't say stupid things like, well, you'd remember being raped, idiot.
You're not really with, you know, they're not really with you if they're passed out. So with implies consent.
By the way. That would have been a moronic thing to say if he hadn't just cut a plea deal about drugging a chick who woke up next to him.
It got way worse.
Oh, yeah.
Way worse.
It's like weapons grade stupid. But anyway, before we do small town news, I want to remind everybody that if you want to support the show and you are shopping on Amazon.com, combine those two things. It's easy. You go to NateDarlingShow.com. Click that Shop Amazon tab at the top of the page, and then go to town with all of your shopping. Whatever you want. Halloween costumes. Now's the time to start thinking about it. Be the sexy person at your Halloween party. Get it at Amazon. Your Thanksgiving stuff. Your fall needs. Shit to break leaves with. It's all there, and you can have it shipped anywhere. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it does help support the show, so thank you in advance for doing that, because we do appreciate it.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right. Hold on. This is the wrong... Oh, my God. This is yesterday's. Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Sons of bitches. You know what? I'm very angry with these people. They published the same speak out on September 5th and 6th.
Oh, wow.
Those sons of bitches.
So speak out. I'm this is my speak out to you speak out. You know when people don't update their shit correctly, other people fall behind and so I don't even know.
All right, well I have some other small town news. I heard about this morning. Yes, Kareem.
Talk in the mic, though.
Yeah, you gotta talk in the mic.
Oh, I was just fucking with you. Go ahead.
Okay.
He went in the mic, so he was fucking with you. That's what happened.
Well, this comes from Vermont, so it is definitely small town news. The principal of a high school in Bennington, Vermont, called Mount Anthony Union High School, has called off the annual homecoming dance because she doesn't want the dance to be a twerk fest.
Oh, damn.
That's right. Principal Sue McGuire was the one who made the final decision, and she reasoned her decision in a letter. Here's what she wrote. Quote, since Miley Cyrus took the stage twerking at the 2013 MTV VMAs, our students' dancing behavior has crossed the line of what we can condone as appropriate behavior at a school. Twerking is dancing to popular music in a sexually provocative manner involving a low squatting dance and thrusting movements. Students do not face one another or remain with the same person for the length of the song. If you haven't seen twerking, I would encourage you to research this online. Get your research done, peeps. Anyway, it's on Perez. This blew up today. It was on Perez Hilton. Is it fair to cancel the homecoming dance because of twerking concerns? What's to stop these kids from getting together on their own and having their own twerking homecoming dance? And to blame it on Miley. They blamed it on Miley.
Thank you, Miley. My coworkers wanted to throw another coworker a baby shower, right? Uh-huh. And these girls are... I always make fun of them and call them ratchet. But anyways, they were like, yeah, it's not this baby shower. I know she thinks it's going to be ratchet, but it's not. There's going to be a twerking contest, though.
pregnant twerking.
And I was like, you know the definition of ratchet, right? Having a twerking contest at a baby shower is kind of one of the things.
Wow. You have some interesting folks you hang with. That's crazy. But anyway, that's...
I have some empathy.
I'm glad... well, because you understand. Yeah. I'm glad I had some backup small town news there. Thanks. Speak out, you bunch of jerks.
Oh, can I speak out real quick?
Yeah, if you do it into the microphone.
I thought I was.
No, you're
talking,
you have to be on the
talking
side.
To the side.
On the side?
Like that.
Oh.
Yes.
What kind of microphone is this?
It's a side address microphone. Where
I
you address
the side
of it. I think
we're going to have to switch seats because I'm used to that and you're not.
No, you're not.
Not used to this, that's for damn sure.
What, oh, God.
No, what did you want to say, Kareem?
Saturday, if you're, since you're all going to eat on Saturday anyway, you should go to have lunch at Cupro's between 12 and 6. Hang out, listen to some good music. Because my friends, nonprofit, the Low End Theory Collaborative, we're doing a fundraiser for Rock the School Bells, which is in October. So that's this Saturday the 13th.
Tomorrow. This show comes out on Friday.
Okay.
So yes.
And then Sunday you should come by the Sacramento Comedy Spot where I'll be in the comedy competition to be in the comedy competition during the comedy festival.
That's a lot of things to remember. Where's Cupro's, by the way?
I think it's at 24th and L.
So
what time on Saturday?
From 12 to 6.
So
okay, so I'm going to have to go at 12.
There you go. Stuff to do this weekend. Don't do anything stupid. That's all I ask from you. Because we need you back next week to listen to more shows. More Nate Darling shows. More Well Hung podcasts.
Don't come in nobody's coffee.
Don't do that. Don't spooge in the coffee. Don't joke about the rake room. And stop hitting people. And also, I must advise you to stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting
Diana.
Yourself. Diana, stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting
I'm
yourself.
Just ignore everyone here.
Just stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Bye, everybody. And you're starting to bomb me, baby. Why'd you only call me when you're...